Yeah.
I ain't wanna gossip, so you ain't heard that from me.
Yo, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? You know what time it is. It's time for a brand new season of Sippin' Tea with Joey and Marie. Let's go. Hold on.
A good sip to start the season.
That's how we start the season, with a good sip right there. And not only that, I got like a bunch of phlegm going on. You know, I'm still getting over this weird sickness.
Allergies.
Well, that's why we were gone for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, because someone got me sick.
Yeah, well, I got sick and then I got you sick. Yeah. And then you know what's funny is I remember the exact moment when I got you sick.
Got me sick.
Yeah, because I was like, you were like, oh, try this coffee, Dad. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I tried your coffee and then I was like, oh,
yeah,
crap.
But here's the thing. I got sick in the middle of the week. Like, it winded me. Yeah. And then you called me, like, 2 days after I got sick. You're like, hey, just checking on you.
Just checking up on
you. I realized I was the one that got you sick. I was like, oh, so it was you that got me sick. I was blaming my daughter that she got me sick because she was sick.
It was on me. So, hey.
You're taking accountability.
Yeah.
Accountability.
I'm taking accountability. Yeah. But, hey, man, we do got a brand new season of a bunch of fun stuff. Mm-hmm. We're going to be having more special guests on the show. We're going to be having so much more fun with y'all. For one, thank you for everyone who's been coming along for the ride. 7 seasons in.
All right, we're starting the season.
That's crazy. All right, mm-hmm. We've been doing this for a bit and it's been a lot of fun, you know, listening to people and their perspectives and just a bunch of fun stuff from pop culture and entertainment. If you're new to the show, that's what we do, and we talk a lot of smack on it.
Yeah, that's
and
we all give, we do is talk a lot of smack.
We do, you know what I mean? In this era of news where everybody has an opinion, we got an opinion, but ours matters.
But if I don't like your opinion, I'm going to talk smack about
it. Yeah, we're going to talk about smack about your opinion. But we're also going to bring people with opinions as well.
Yeah,
because
other
today,
opinions.
Today, we have a very special guest in the building.
We absolutely do.
To kick off season 7, first episode premiere, the history of the diss record. And you know we brought somebody with us to sip along with us too. El único, el hombre más fino. They call him Skilly
Way! What's going on, guys? How
My
you doing?
Goodness. Hello. You know what? This young man right here, I've known him since he was yay high. He was about as tall as Black Sauce. And let me tell you. And he's up in here. By the way, our homie Black Sauce is up in here. We'll get him to say a few words. He's got his own podcast that he just began or started, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to give him a little tidbit right there, a little something for him to say. But here's the thing, man. We've known Skilly Ways for years. You've known him since you were little. You know what I mean? And Skills is actually still pretty young, but you know what I mean?
I got the Benjamin Button, bro.
Yeah, you got the Benjamin Button going.
I'm like fine wine.
Yeah, people look at me, they're like, oh, you're not that old. Yeah, see, we got the same thing. It's because brown don't break down.
Yeah, there
I'm
you
just
go.
Saying.
Facts.
I'm just saying.
Facts.
Once you brown, you down.
Okay, so we're going to talk about a lot of cool stuff right here. First of all, though, we do got to talk about 2 seasons that had season finales that you and I have
Absolutely.
Been watching.
And I've been wanting to talk about it.
Well, one of them has been going on for 20 years. A show that was over 20 years. The guy who created Seinfeld with Jerry Seinfeld, Larry David. You ever watch? You know the music. Bum, 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 bum. Okay, well, 20-something years this show has been going on. Mm-hmm. And the finale of the whole show finally happened. And we've watched, like, I watched Seinfeld. Seinfeld's my jam. Like, I grew up in the 90s, so, like, that show was, like, a big, like, important part of pop culture in the 90s, you know?
Right.
And so, going to Curb Your Enthusiasm, it's basically a version of Seinfeld, but dirty.
Okay.
Like a dirty version.
But
like
then
no
also,
holds barred.
Too, with Seinfeld, like, their George Costanza, his character is based off of Larry
off
David's
Larry David.
Life.
Yeah.
And so there's that connection between the two right there. But I didn't realize how long Curb Your Enthusiasm was running until this particular episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when it comes to season finales, you either do it right or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just either or.
Yeah.
And back when Seinfeld was out, that season finale, the whole country was watching it, right?
Yeah.
But it was the worst season finale that anyone
has
ever experienced.
Good.
It wasn't good.
I was so let down from it. I think everybody was let down. We're like, this is a stupid season finale.
They had the season finale of Seinfeld playing in Times Square. That's how big it was.
Yeah. Dang.
And so to everyone watching it in Times Square for the season to end the way that it is, they're like,
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. This is before streaming, before any of that.
Yeah.
So
right.
Everybody had to be tuned in to watch
the
this season finale.
Yeah.
So when you watch it, I mean, the basically the whole, at least the whole country was watching it, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure people from the outskirts, because they translated it in Spanish too. You know, all these different languages and stuff. Right. So I remember watching it, I was like, I wanted to like it, but I didn't want to tell people that I hated it.
Yeah.
Because I like Seinfeld so much, you know? Uh-huh. So I was bummed. So fast forward to this. Yeah. This show, you know, he starts the show, like actually at the beginning of the final season, because Larry mm-hmm. David left Seinfeld mm-hmm. and then he started his own show called Curb Your Enthusiasm. And so what's cool about this show, and I don't know how much you know about the show, but it's an improvised show.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So basically it's just a skeleton, right? Mm. So we say, okay, this is going to happen to you today and this is going to happen. And then at the end, this is going to happen. Now make it all up.
Right.
So then everybody would just go in there and just basically freestyle, right? You freestyle the whole 40 minutes. And it was just hilarious. And the more these characters got together and got like
familiar with each other's style, and the chemistry was there,
the better it got.
Yeah, right, right.
And man, the stuff that this guy got involved in, man, I'm telling you, it was just like, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
And sometimes you're like, it's not even his fault. And people are like, I'm going to give you one example.
Last season was definitely his fault.
Yeah, that's his fault.
Last season was his fault all the way around.
But I'm going to give you an example. So he goes into this play, right? And they won't let them bring any water. Like, you can't bring water. You can't bring a bottle of water. You can't do none of that.
Right.
He's like, what do you mean? But I'm going to get thirsty. You know? So he puts a bottle in his pants.
Uh-huh.
Puts a bottle in his pants so he could drink it, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so he gives this doll to this kid, right? Uh-huh. Or something like that. And he goes into the bathroom. And this little kid is so ecstatic that she sees him passing by that she wanted to thank him for the doll.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, she goes in there, hey, Larry, and goes into the bathroom. Thank you so much for the doll. And gives him a big old hug. And you hear, you know, into the bottle. She's like, she backs up and she saw, Mom, Larry.
So, Mom, Larry has something in his pants when he held me.
Yeah, dude, it's so messed up. He's like, no, it's a bottle. No.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyways.
But those are the things that he would get himself into was that, like, these little things, right? Like, the premises was either it was his fault or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so this season finale, he is going to court because he decides to give someone a bottle of water when she's waiting in line to vote. And it was in Georgia, right?
Yeah, in Georgia.
And Georgia,
you can't give people a bottle of water if they're waiting in line.
It's illegal to give it to them because it's pretty much like you're paying them off to vote.
Oh, like a persuasion tactic.
A persuasion tactic.
Okay, gotcha.
And so because he didn't know that, and he was like, oh my gosh, like she said she was thirsty, I'm going to give her water. So whole premise is about this case that is coming to light at the end.
But they look at him as he's like a martyr of sorts.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Like he's not going to stand for this type of, treatment of voters.
Yeah.
So everybody thinks that he's like for them. But the fool is like so selfish.
Yeah.
He's selfish bastard.
And he tells people he's selfish. Like he is very proud of who he is as a person.
There's this one episode where he gets mad at this guy who sells him coffee, right?
Uh-huh.
And he opens up a spite store just in spite of him. Like, his name is Mocha Joe's, and he opens up a shop next to it called Latte Larry's.
Right next door.
So this is how petty this dude is.
Right, right.
So the whole show is him just petty, selfish.
But it finally catches up to him. Like all the pettiness he's ever did, all the interactions he's ever had came to this when he finally goes to court.
Uh-huh.
And
he's
they're
having
calling witnesses. So they're calling witnesses.
Okay.
It's witnesses from 20 plus years.
Right.
So they're bringing these scenarios of things that he's done, and it's not making his character look any better.
Yeah, right, and they're telling him all these messed up things that have happened to him. Oh, you know, he did this? And then the little girl that hug them, she comes in and he's like, oh, we got this person. He's like, I don't know who this is. Who the hell is this? And then she's like, when I was a kid, he's like, oh.
So eventually concludes that he goes to jail. They sentence him for jail and he has to go to jail for a year.
Uh-huh.
And so he's like flipping out because he's like, oh my God, like where am I going to brush my teeth? Like how does prison work? Like is it like a hotel where you can request that? Like all this stuff. And so he's in this jail cell, like just kind of already like, you know what? It is what it is.
Uh-huh.
And Jerry Seinfeld, who's like really close friends with him, ends up coming up to him and is like, hey, like you're done. And he's like, what do you mean I'm done? He's like, you don't have to serve time. And he's like, what do you mean? And because one of the jury members...
He walked out. You know how you get...
When you're like, on a case like this, you're not allowed to go anywhere.
Yeah, they keep you in hotels and you can't leave.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're like,
it's like they did the same thing with O.J. Simpson. You know what I mean?
But one of the jury members went out and had dinner and Jerry Seinfeld happened to run into him. And when they were in the court, he was like, man, this guy looks really familiar.
Uh-huh.
And then it kind of like, oh, this is this guy. So he told the judge and they just dropped the case entirely.
Yeah, because it doesn't count no more.
Because he went out.
So that's how he gets out. And then he walks out and they're like, dang, I got out, man. I can't believe this. And he's like, man, this is a hell of a way to end this whole story. He goes, that's the way we should have ended the freaking Seinfeld finale. He's like,
So it was almost homage and like the homage to the season finale of Seinfeld, how terrible it was. Yeah. And it's almost like a second shot.
So this happened in Curvy Enthusiasm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
the connection of like, this is paying the respect of how terrible the season finale was.
Well, this dude was so smart because that show, everybody wanted it to be remade or made. So even within the show, like on the 8th season, I want to say, he did a full season about him trying to get back his ex-wife, and in order to get her back, he wanted to get her a part in the freaking the reboot of Seinfeld. Okay. So he gets everybody from Seinfeld to come back in the season, and they're trying to create that final episode.
Okay.
So it gives you like a Seinfeld fanatic like myself. Uh-huh. Like it gives you like
that recreation. Yeah, like this nostalgia.
Yeah, it gives you so much better of than a finale. Gives you a whole season of them trying to build this awesome finale.
Right on.
And so you get all the characters, all the actors from the original Seinfeld are on this season.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, he was just really smart about how he did certain things, you know?
Yeah.
And there were so many funny, memorable characters. But anyways, great show. It's amazing.
Yeah, I love
it's
it.
pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I feel like I'm going to have to go refresh on all this now because it sounds really good.
No, it is so good. You know, here's the thing, and I always tell people, Larry David reminds me so much of my Uncle Pedro.
Oh, yeah.
Pedro would be...
You know, Pedro's sarcastic and he just says whatever the heck he wants to say, no filter?
Yeah.
That's him.
And he loves the show because that's... When you have a personality like yourself.
You know, shout out to Pedro, because that's honestly probably why it's funny, because growing up around you guys, I was always like the younger, the chiquillo in the crowd pretty much. But it was Pedro and a few other people that I definitely from my early stage was like, these guys don't give a, you know what I mean? And I was like, I like that. I like that energy.
Never had, never will, too.
Yeah. And he's still like that. So we cracks us up. We're like, man, he's going to be Larry David when he gets old.
Yeah.
Like,
every time I see him, I'm like, this is something he would do. Like, I would envision this really well. But it is a good show. Yeah. Like, if nobody has seen this show and you like sarcasm and especially improv, like, it's a whole good show. I will say the beginning of the seasons, you know, they're picking up their momentum of how the show's going to go.
Right.
Because it's improv,
it starts
right?
getting really good by season 3.
I would say so myself,
like,
too.
Season 3, you're just like, okay, these dudes are, like, in the pocket. Like, everything is just so good.
So, it's a good show. But another show that just came to the season finale is the show Invincible.
Mm-hmm. You ever heard of Invincible?
Man, to be honest, I'm not super tuned in with, like, all the shows, but I've probably watched something
this
here and there in passing.
One.
Well, this show, I'm sure it shows it on TikTok or whatever, but it's a cartoon.
Okay.
But it's
like a comic book.
Yeah, it's a comic book. So, have you ever seen the show The Boys?
No.
Okay, so it's basically like an anti-hero.
Why we bring skills
hero
on this show? Just
I know, I'm sorry. I'm so, like, pop culture illiterate.
Spin Master Mugen loves Invincible, so he's probably going to be so bummed that he wasn't here to talk about Invincible
in
the finale.
He's itching to talk
about it. Yeah, he's itching to talk about
it. Can we call in for something?
I know. I'm
calling in for this part.
I need a FaceTime.
You know, but no, it's such a great show. It deals with a son and a father. It's a son and father relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But the father, his name's Omni-Man, which happens to be one of the most powerful men in the universe. Kind of
like
a Superman. Yeah.
Okay.
But he comes with his flaws. He's just like a normal person like us that's flawed. But like, he does stuff for the greater good, but he also does some really evil stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like when he kills people, like he rips them in pieces. He's not like a Superman where he doesn't hurt anybody. Like this dude rips people in pieces.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And his son, you know, inherits those powers.
Okay.
But there comes a point where him and the father, they don't see eye to eye because the son is like a Superman.
He wants to
more
be pure-hearted.
Yeah, more pure-hearted. Yeah. Okay. But his dad's like, sometimes you got to do the things you got to do, son.
Right.
And he's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. So there's these crazy fight scenes, but it's a cartoon, but it's gory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like, you'll see people getting freaking punched in the face and their whole brains pop out.
Yeah.
Like it's like almost like an anime, huh?
Yeah.
Like an anime style. And it's just wild. And you're just like, dang. And it's ultra violent.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's ruthless, man. It's dirty. It's everything, you know?
Yeah.
So I mean,
and Seth Rogen's one of the directors.
Oh, mm-hmm. I might have to check that out.
So Seth Rogen's also directed The Boys. And so if you watch Invincibles and you like that style, then The Boys is a good one too, because The Boys, it's more real life.
Right.
And it's the same thing, the concept too is, you know, not every superhero is a good superhero. Yeah. Even though they try to be, they're still crappy in a sense. And Omni-Man is that person. Yeah.
Okay.
And so Mark, which is the son, and his name is Invincible, he tries to be the greater good. He's a part of this organization of superheroes, in a sense it's kind of like the Justice League.
Okay.
And he's just trying to be good. And, you know, he's trying to be good, but he inhabits these qualities of his father that he will never get away from. Uh-huh. And so with the season finale that just happened, that's kind of where it concludes to that, is no matter how hard you try to be a good person, like, these are just your natural born instincts to do this. Right. You can control it, but you need to figure out a way to control it to where you feel more comfortable with it.
Imagine being like, you're trying to do the best you can, you know? Like that story I told you about when I was doing the charity event.
Yeah, yeah.
And then something just...
Right.
And you're just like, oh, man, I can't believe I did that. That happens to him.
Okay.
And you're just like, oh, man, that was freaking rough, man. You're like, so it's like, that's what it is. It's like telling you, like, no matter how much you try to be perfect, no matter how much you try to be the best you can be, You're gonna fail at times.
Yeah,
you know.
Correct.
And so it's really interesting how they come up with this show. But the show itself, it's an amazing show, man. That finale
it's
is wild.
Sick. Yeah, I love it. I was a little mad because like this season they took a break in between the season, so you had to wait like half a year for the other episodes to come out. So the other episodes come out, and I'm like, watch them all, and I'm like, crap, now I have to wait a whole nother year for this other thing. That's my pet peeve. I like to binge shows. I like to binge them, be done, and then feel that like I'm good for it. My husband's not that way. He hates that because he's like, can't you just wait? I was like, no, I need to know what's going to happen right now. Like in the season finale, like it worked me up, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, like I know what to expect. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of things that I was a little upset that he didn't make that initial step to, you know, do whatever it was. Will Sam was glad he broke up with his girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta watch it, I'm telling you.
See, that's actually, right now, you just actually hit it right on the nail. That's why I don't get invested into shows that much, because I have had a few that, for whatever reason, really, I was really invested in them.
Yeah.
And then after the show was done, especially like the whole, like, and like I said, I'm not like super keen to like, oh, there's 20 seasons, I can watch this forever. It's like, some might have like one or two good seasons and that's it. And then it's like, oh, the next one's coming like next year or a year and a half from now. And I'm like, so I think the first three shows that really got me like that, after that I was like, you know what, I'm not doing that to myself again. And I recently just did it. I don't know if you guys ever watched the Power series, the 50 Samurai.
Yes.
I got really invested in that one, and then watched all the spinoffs and everything.
You watched Raising Kanan? It's good, huh?
Yeah, watched that one. The Tommy one is my favorite. I want them to elaborate more on that.
Have you watched BMF yet?
Yes, I've so barely good, started it, but for the same reason, I'm kind of just watching everything now with time. I won't like, because I had the same thing. I'd sit there and binge, and it's like, if I didn't have nothing to do for the day and I had all my stuff ready and I was like, oh, I can take the day off.
Ready to go.
Just all day watching it. And then it was funny because I'd be like eating lunch with my girl or something and be like, yo, Tommy's tripping. You know?
Like, you get, like, you get so invested in the storyline.
Now you know how our moms were with the novellas when they get all into
the
same exact way. On the edge of the couch.
You know, it's funny how much we would tisk at our parents, and now it's like we our own embodiment
of a lot of the things. When my grandma used to watch novellas, she would sit on the edge of the couch and she like cup her hands so like, because she'd be so nervous.
Yeah, these are famous things. Oh, you stupid.
Yeah, and then she'd be like pacing around.
Demonio.
Yeah. And then I realized over time, I'm that person. Like, I'll get up and I'm like, are you serious? Like, I'll be yelling and screaming. My husband's in the other room, like, it's just a show. And I'm like, it's not just a show. Like,
hey, bro, you gotta watch The Boys, though. Seriously. Because you'll watch The Boys, and there's one guy who is the Superman version. This guy is the biggest piece of freaking.
He's one of the most hated, beloved villains. Dude.
Like,
time.
In his look, in the just. Man, everything makes you like just want to tear this dude apart, but you know you couldn't because he's super powerful.
Right.
But you watch this show and you're gonna be like, I just want to see this dude.
Yeah,
get
first
messed
episode.
Up, dude.
Yeah. First episode within the first 3 minutes, it's just gonna, you're gonna be so.
But I'm gonna tell you, it's dirty.
It's a dirty
there's
show.
So much dirty stuff. There's one episode. There's one full episode. A full episode that has got to be probably the most raunchiest episode of any show I've seen. It's called, and this is what it's called. It's called Superhero Freaking
Superhero Orgy.
Okay. It's straight up that.
Yeah.
It's these all these superheroes with all these superpowers having an orgy.
But in between, there's these fight scenes that, like, it's that at this location. It is crazy. It's crazy because what's crazier is what they showed in this episode.
Well, it's like
they
this.
Wanted to show more.
Well, it's like
in
this.
The comic books, it's even more.
What are the two things that people love?
Well, I can believe that because.
But look, what are the two things that people love? right? That people gravitate towards. Just sex and violence.
Yeah.
You put those together, bro, it's like an orgasm in your mind. Right.
Show 10 out of 10.
Yeah, no, it's
Invincible wild. Season finale, 10 out of 10. I'm excited for next season because there's going to be a whole other story developed with this, especially the tie into Omni-Man, too, that I'm excited to see. And Alan.
Yeah.
Alan.
But we do have to talk about some trailers because there's some trailers that dropped that are very interesting that we want to break down a little bit, like Maxine and also the new Joker, Foley. What is it?
I don't know. Something Foley.
Oh, Joker 2. I don't know. And that was very interesting. But then we're going to get into the history of Diss Records. I know we didn't even introduce the beginning of it, which I might even have to go back and see. Blah, 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 blah.
Just
the history of the Diss Record.
Bring it back.
Yeah, history
the
of the Diss
beauty
Record.
Of recording. You just
we could do it.
What you do.
So while you're listening to me talk about this right now, you know that I just did that at the beginning. So, anyways,
you'll be stunned.
We're going to be talking about the history of the Diss Record because there's a lot of dissing going on right now. Some that have fallen short, some that have retrieved. And
it's spicy outside.
It gets spicy.
It's spicy outside. It is spicy. It's going to be a spicy summer.
Yeah. It's going to be a spicy summer. And I'll tell you right now, man, I'm all for it, man, because I love Diss Records. Yeah. We came up from that era where Diss Records were like, man, like, oh, yeah, that's what's up.
It's like the Harlem Globetrotters coming around.
There's always got to be a top notch. Somebody's going to be at the top of the hill, man. Somebody's going to be at the top of the hill. Yeah. We played this game when we were kids. Remember the top of the hill? When you go up to the top and everybody knock each other out until somebody stood at the top. It's always been like that. Hip hop is about bravado. It's about you know, it's testosterone fueled. It's just what it is, man.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get into the history of the Diss Record and the current disses that are going on right now. But first, what do you think about Joker 2?
You know, from watching that, to me, I feel like they're just prepping Lady Gaga for her return. This is almost going to be like just a little like the movie's going to do what it's going to do. But via it being that, is that somehow going to be an emphasis? And watch, she's going to all of a sudden roll
in music?
Back. Yeah, I feel like that's tied into
it. So?
Honestly, I would love for her come back.
That would make sense, though.
She looks great in the role.
She does. Yeah.
Looks perfect for it and she everything. Does. But then, like I said, why else would you have her incorporated in something like that?
And singing,
And why make that musical-esque, or if it is a whole musical,
well, it is
why?
A musical. They even said it's going to be like a jukebox. But they're
see, so why?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. They're singing like classics.
Uh-huh.
So they're singing a lot of different...
It's like covers.
Yeah, covers of songs that everybody knows. I think there's one or two songs that are not.
Yeah, there's about three songs that are going to be written, like inside the movie itself, but it's all going to be like covers of songs. But it's going to be most likely, right, like love songs. If it's the love between Joker and Harley Quinn.
Well, my issue with this is, and I was telling Aaliyah, and you guys could correct me if I'm wrong, or be like, hey, you chill, man, all right? It's not that big of a deal.
I said that the other day, but you know...
But I watched the first one, and I love the first one. The first one was so weird and so oddball, and it was just a really good origin story of a man who was broken, you know?
Right, right.
And I love that idea and the way they came to about it. And Joaquin Phoenix, to me, honestly, is probably one of the greatest character actors, you know what I mean, of our time. So to see him play this dude, I was like, this is going to be amazing. A sequel, I want to see it. Then I'm like, okay, how are you going to go from a sequel a normal sequel of a normal dude just losing his mind to a musical. Yeah, as I'm saying
it's
that.
It's just a business move.
Right? Yeah, it's a business move. It makes sense, but I'm also like, but why do you gotta make it like a musical? Like, I just give me the story. I don't need to hear him sing. Like, I don't think
you're also judging it right now. Where how much of it's gonna be musically?
Yeah, because I'm angry.
Because it's a theme. It's a musical. But how many musicals I can name you musicals I watch that it's both the balance of music, but also a lot of dialogue.
But see, this is what I don't like too.
Yeah,
is if I guess it wouldn't make any sense either because like what was that movie that we saw?
In the Heights?
In the Heights. See,
yeah.
I liked In the Heights, and I thought it was beautifully shot, and I thought the storyline was cool, but what I really disliked about it is that you had to pay attention to the songs to get the plot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you watch that one?
No, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, so in that example of In the Heights, yes. Like, that was one that it was hard to catch on because the music was so, like, very fast-paced that you really needed to focus
on it.
Like, I couldn't even focus on the scene because I was so focused on their words.
Like, you're reading captions?
Yeah, reading captions. Like, I'm all about captions. I have to put captions in my movies. But with this one with the Joker, like, I think it's going to have that balance only because I'm sure a lot of people, in the sense of you, of, like, why is this going to be a musical? Like, why is it going to be this? I think they're going to do that balance between it being a musical But I think the musical is going to really fixate on the relationship between Harley Quinn and the Joker.
Right.
The thing is, you have two psychotic people that are not right in the head.
You're talking me off the ledge.
I know. There's two psychotic people that are not right in the head, but when they fall in love, their vision of love and the vision of life is different than a normal person who isn't crazy.
So Skilly, so like, other than than the idea of what you're thinking, the move, what do you think of the movie?
I mean, it still looks interesting, don't get me wrong, because just like what you said, the first one was great, and especially how you just like described it.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be cool for the audience, I feel, to see him step into a new chapter of himself,
mm-hmm.
especially what you just said. Like, you know, the first one was just kind of giving you an insight and explanation of why he is what he is. So now, and just like you said, yeah, maybe it isn't a whole musical. Like that few little pieces where they were dancing together and stuff. I could see that being like, you know, emphasizes the musical aspect of it. But yeah, I mean, it looks interesting to me because like I said, it'd be cool because then I feel like in a deeper sense of it too, when you're madly in love and you're already psychotic, I wonder what that creates on top of everything.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
So it's, I like that perspective. Yeah. The colors, I always love a good color palette in films.
Yeah.
Like, like the colors.
The shots do look amazing,
yeah, the
though.
Yeah. I got to give it that. Such that in a shot where Lady Gaga's telling him she wants to see his authentic smile and she has that lipstick.
Yeah, that was
just falls right there. Smart, like it's gorgeous.
But you need to do a video where you do something like that.
I'm about to take the idea.
But you know how like the last Batman when it's the Joker and they introduce like it is the Joker.
Yeah,
right?
It is the Joker.
It's a different.
Did you see that one? The Batman, the one with freaking
Robert Pattinson.
From
Twilight.
No, I think that's why I didn't watch it.
No.
Because I was like,
dope.
Watch it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's dope, and especially because they do introduce a Joker for that
if you're world. If you're a fan of the Christopher Nolan trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you're a fan of that, you're going to love this one.
Yeah. I just can't shake the guy. No. I can never shake the guy out of the Twilight role.
No, you.
It's so funny because when this was building up to it, he was saying the same thing, but like, obviously I grew up Twilight, so like that was my thing. But I also watched him in a lot of independent films and stuff alone to where like I followed him long enough that I was no longer attaching Twilight to it.
Okay.
I honestly think, this movie you're not gonna see him the same.
Because I think people once you see this film or if you watch other films, it's really quickly easily to detach yourself to the Twilight series.
Okay.
Like 100%.
He did so well at playing a young Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
That it's like it's undeniable, like his talent.
And you have to watch it too because Colin Farrell, who plays the Penguin, they're making a sideshow about the Penguin.
Yeah.
And the Penguin's very gangster, like mobster style kind of thing right there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But with the trailer, like it does look good and I'm going to watch it. And I love Lady Gaga.
I don't know if I'm going to go to the movie theater to watch it, but I'll watch it.
Like, I'll probably wait till it comes out, but I definitely watch it.
But I love Lady Gaga as an actress because her in House of Gucci, like one of my favorite films. House of Gucci. But House of Gucci seriously was one of the best hands down of her acting career. I love that she's taking more roles because I think she's a great actress. Like she really, I think with her, if she cares about something, she's going to put it in all the work. And she's done that. And especially with another film, A Star Is Born, which it wasn't a musical, but it was with her and Bradley Cooper.
That was sad, man.
It was good though. Like her character like was really phenomenal. So if anyone was going to get casted for Harley Quinn and especially the love interest of Joaquin Phoenix, I'm glad it's Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Like I could see that and envision
a
little bit better.
Yeah, it's a fitting role for sure.
Yeah, so that's for sure.
So there's a new movie called Maxine. It's the lady that played Pearl, and she was also on the, I think it was called XXX too, wasn't it? That scary movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's Shia LaBeouf's wife.
Oh, okay. So that's
Shia LaBeouf's the goat, bro.
He's
for
dope.
Me, for me, that's top
Dude,
tier.
Have you seen like his, like there's documentaries on him on what he does in LA and how he like teaches acting
classes.
Bro, he's a solid individual, man.
He
a
is,
solid
man.
Individual.
So this young lady, Maxine, is
it's
an aspiring
by Mia,
actress.
Mia Goth.
Yeah, so she's an aspiring actress who goes into Hollywood in the 80s. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And in the 80s, it's in the middle of the Night Stalker scare. Mm-hmm. And I was telling you about the Night Stalker. The Night Stalker is one creepy dude, man.
Right.
He was our boogeyman. When I was a little kid, like he was the straight up boogeyman.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and he was a real boogeyman. So like it would freak the heck out of us, man. Like none of us would be out at night, bro.
Mm-hmm.
For the longest time, nobody would be out at night. Everybody, you know how we would run around like kids and stuff like that. I tell you these stories like.
He's like Llorona.
Yeah, he's like Llorona. He was a real Llorona.
Right.
So this dude was one of the most heinous, one of the most evil people. Honestly, that as killers go, as serial killers,
because
not only would he would kill, he would rape, he would molest, he would do all this disgusting stuff. And he said that he wanted to do that because he wanted to do the most evil he could on this world for Satan. Mm-hmm. So okay. That's what
his motto was.
Yeah.
And what was even more sickening about this, when they caught the piece of crap, because people caught him.
Right.
When they saw him, they started beating the hell out of him. Like, mm-hmm. they took him out of his car, beating him up, and they got the cops and they arrested him. He had a fandom going. Like,
oh, really?
Females. Like, if you look at him, like, he looks, he just had this look about him, right? This mystique about him, and ladies flocked towards him.
Ladies
wanted
to marry.
Yeah, we wanted to marry him.
Yeah.
It was disgusting, dude. Right, it was disgusting. But anyways, this character, it seems to be a main focal point within the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a focal point because it's going. So Maxine is, you know, this aspiring actress who's going to make her big break.
Mm-hmm.
But with Richard Ramirez out and about, it's going to unveil some of her past, her sinister past that she does not want people to know about.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost like whatever Richard Ramirez is doing is going to open up a can of worms of what she's done in the past herself.
Either that, or she's going to open up a can of whoop ass.
One or the other. I mean, you watch the trailer.
It's a little bit of everything. And then it looks like she's watching a snuff film or something at one point.
So I almost felt like what they're kind of capsulizing was like this aspiring actress,
mm-hmm.
almost like, you know, when they say like people that are willing to like go to Illuminati and stuff like that, like just the extent of what they're willing
they want
to
for
do.
Fame. Yeah.
So at some point she did something, maybe cross paths with him somewhere, and just like you said, something's going to open a can of worms because it's going to somehow show some connection, affiliation of some sort. And then it's like, you know, if she does reach that startup point or that huge superstar point in the movie, I feel like it's gonna be one of those things for like when people, before canceling was a word or whatever, but like maybe something like that, or just something to make her look at her in a different light, because it's like, oh, now we know that you know whatever
you did this. Yeah,
yeah. So that's kind of what I got out of the movie, but to me it's interesting, and I like those stories. They're enticing because then you kind of just, it's like a big buildup the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And then either they kill it real good on the drop, or they just drop it completely and you're like, come on, man, you did all that for that? Like,
well, it's an A24 film.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. If you ever watch A24 movies,
yeah,
like they know how to deliver.
Okay.
I mean, there's been one here and there, like The Green Knight was whack.
Yeah.
Don't ever watch The Green Knight.
I don't want to bring that up. I just had a conversation.
Terrible.
Threw it out the window.
Terrible. I mean, the visual, the cinematography, amazing.
Beautiful.
Movie's stupid.
Yeah.
But anyways, those guys, A24, deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they put a movie together, you're like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
We just watched an A24 movie and we reviewed it as well, called The Iron Claw.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen that?
I did see the previews for that.
Homeboy looks like He-Man, huh?
Yeah.
Damn, bro. Like, I'm going to tell you, like, you go to watching that movie,
mm-hmm.
and you get so fully immersed in it, especially you and I being guys and stuff and having brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, you're going to leave heartbroken. Oh, my gosh. Does it hurt my heart?
I can't as an adult now, bro. I just don't watch those movies.
Yeah, because
here's the difference now. You can do it at the comfort of your home.
Yeah.
But when we go to the movie theaters, when we watched it, it was me, my brother, and my dad. We went to watch it. There was two guys about three seats behind us. And, you know, the entire time I watch this movie, and of course, like, I'm a crybaby. Like, I've accepted it a long time ago. I'll cry for anything, and I don't care.
Shoot, I know, but the older that gets,
right. But we're all like, we're crying.
I see skills that I haven't seen for a long time.
We're crying, and I can hear two seats behind me, these two guys crying. And then after they're walking out, and the guy tells his friend, like, dude, you told me this was like a wrestling movie. He's like, yeah, I thought it was too. He's like, it was sad.
We have this joke that we're always like, now being more mature or older or whatever, when something gets you real sad, we always have this inner joke amongst us, like, man, I'm crying in the club right now.
Yeah, like, you start to think about it. But yeah, especially depending on the stage of life that you're watching this film. And it's definitely heavily focused on having siblings.
Yeah.
I think that's just a thing. So if you have a sibling, it's going to get you because you start to think about yours. You're like, dang.
Right.
Like me right now, I'm like, dang.
Right now, said about like watching a movie in a different time of your life, that's crazy because I just the other day, you ever seen the movie Baby Boy?
Yes.
So as a younger in my teens, oh, this movie's funny. Oh, Snoop Dogg's in it. All the highlights of it to totally disregard all the rest of the stuff in the movie, right? But the other, like maybe like last month or a couple weeks ago, I was with my girl and I was like, you ever seen this movie? She's like, nah. And in my head, I'm still thinking like, oh yeah, this was funny.
It's a cool movie.
Something to watch. And then we're watching it, and it just like you said, and at a different later part in my life where now I microscope everything a lot differently, or my 20s version of me is not my 30s version at all, right? So I didn't realize how toxic Just enraging and like, yeah. Just, man, there's a whole time at some point I really turned around and looked at my girl. I was like, yo, I'm sorry. I was like, I was, cause she gets really emotional and, yeah. You know, and all the physical abuse and the, you know, the cheating and the just the whole, depicting the toxic man, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole whatever. But like I said, prior to me, that never wired through my brain, nothing. I was just like, oh, these guys are gangsters and just being mm-hmm. funny and oh, the stuff they go through or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, watching it now, I was just like, at one point, I remember halfway through the movie, I was like, this is just terrible. Yeah. And
I'm sitting there like,
I was sitting there like hands folded and like real serious. And then I'm like, and I kept turning around. I was like, you want me to change? I'll change it. I was like, because I don't remember it being this just ugly.
And a lot of those movies from back in the days were like that. That. Super yeah. like they're ultra masculine for one, right?
Yeah.
But it's super gangster. But honestly, like I'm gonna tell you right now, like, and I'm sure you've come across people like that. But growing up, how I grew up, everybody was like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was like they had no disregard to the female persuasion, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, this is what we are. This is what we do. We're just out on the prowl. That's it. And now, especially like how you say, you get to a certain point. Like me and with my daughters, I'm like, you freak,
mm-hmm. right? Ooh, right.
I would, yeah.
You know, I get so mad,
I get so enraged. So yeah. I don't watch movies like that no more.
Yeah,
I think the only one that I still watch, like I'll watch Boys in the Hood because that's still pretty good.
Yeah,
and the storyline, and then Poetic Justice.
Okay,
because even Pac on that one was still a pretty solid dude.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was to me, I like that about Pac in that version is because his boy was like that,
mm-hmm.
but he was like, "The hell is wrong with you, dude?" Like,
right.
Like he checks him on there, and his boy gets all pissed at him. He goes, "Oh, you're gonna go? You're gonna freaking pick me over a freaking hoe?"
Yeah.
This and that. He's like, "Nah, dude. Look at how you're acting. You're like a fool, man."
Yeah.
So he just takes off with those girls, and he's like, and the girls like, "Hey, thank you for doing that." He's like, "Man, f you, b." You know what I mean? He goes, "I'm not doing this for you. I'm telling you right now. That's not what I am."
Yeah.
I don't condone that kind of freaking behavior.
Right.
So
right.
He takes off, and he's just like, "I'm like, dang, man. Like, yeah. At least he was straight up. Like, he was like, okay, I don't like you,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not gonna let this dude be this way."
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So there was some cool stuff about some of the stuff back then.
Yeah.
But Baby Boy is not one of them.
Yeah, no, definitely.
You know, you can find it on Disney Plus.
Baby
yeah.
Boy?
Yeah, because Disney Plus is
oh,
the...
Oh,
that I was like, that's...
that, right? But here's the thing, so Disney...
Well, you know who did Disney, remember? Blood and Blood Out.
Yeah. Blood and Blood Out was
Disney. Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes, we found that out.
Yeah.
That's actually because last year when that I was on tour, we actually stopped at the Pino,
uh-huh.
And I actually got to take a picture by it. And it was crazy because we were driving around because we were in LA and I was like, and everybody, all of us were too. At one point, I was like, hey, you know that the blah, blah, blah's here? And everybody was like, what? Oh, let's go. And I was like, oh, cool. It's like a whole, oh, so everybody wants to go. Cool. So we went. And then the cool part was, is like, it's actually just as like famous as you would mm-hmm. assume. Cause there was like cars, little groups of people.
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
was polite, letting you take your pictures.
Well, just like in Philly for the Rocky. The steps that he took, we went. The same thing too. Like, it's so
nice.
Traffic flowed because mm-hmm. it's yeah. a monument piece.
Yeah,
right
the
there.
Fandom for those guys is wild.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane, man. Even when he came here last year, mm-hmm. was it last year?
It was last year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, dang, man. I tell you what, that dude was probably one of the nicest people I've met mm-hmm. in a long time. I'm sure it's because he interacts with a lot of, you know, the community. Mm-hmm. But, man, he was such a genuine dude. Like, and you meet a lot of people, you know, and
yeah.
like people that are in a higher level of fame or whatever.
Yeah.
And some of them, you're like, this guy's a freaking shit stick or whatever.
Yeah,
but this
yeah,
guy
yeah.
was just really nice, man. Like, the whole time was just cool.
I think it's cool how social media now has like allowed a lot of these older like staples mm-hmm. in anything to now get like a new little run of like mm-hmm. now it's like anybody that knows them, if you're online and hey, I'm popping up here, I'm selling some merch, some books or whatever you mm-hmm. content you got, now it's like a new refresher. And then anybody, you know, like let's say the people never actually caught that era of when those movies were a real thing. Now
yeah.
they're just catching up from like, oh, my parents showed me this or my older uncle
yeah.
or whatever. And then the new generation gets into it, but now they have availability to access to them as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah.
I think that's cool, you know, in that sense that it's mm-hmm. like they're big back then. They never really died. And then now it's just like an extra little boost
like
for them.
Yeah,
right
the cult
there,
following
yeah.
is beautiful. You know what I mean? Because it becomes a different thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's and then a lot of these movies like that one, it wasn't successful when it first came out.
No.
Yeah.
It was kind of like an underground hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was because of Disney
mm-hmm.
that Disney purposely, they had to release it, but they purposely
like low-tiered it
very minimal amount of exposure.
Yeah.
And it could have been huge. Mm-hmm. It could have been huge, but they were like, we're Disney, man. We can't be putting out movies like that.
Yeah.
And I guess there was a transitional phase between the transitional phase of the presidential or the presidents of Disney. That's where the movie sneaked out.
Oh, gotcha.
And so this president's like, what? Y'all greenlit this movie right here on Disney? Right. Like, nah, man. I mean, it's already out, but no marketing is being done for this.
Yeah.
So nothing was done, and it was supposed to be the movie that got all of them their stardom.
Right.
From Benjamin Bratt to Damien Chapa to all of them. You know what I mean? That was supposed to give them their stardom, and it didn't.
Oh, that makes sense, because every time I've watched it and I was an adult, I still like that movie a lot. Yeah. And I'm always like, in the back of my head, I'm like, I wonder why a lot of these guys, especially Cruzito, like, I'm like, I wonder why that guy didn't pop up in a lot more bigger roles, because out of the whole bunch, to me he was the most, like, even though most of it was around like Miklo and stuff, for me, like, his little parts were like, because he reminded me a lot of my cousins, and just like the cool cousin you wanted to hang around with or whatever. But like him, and then I mean, the rest of them, I was always like, man, they were all really good. I mean, granted, it was the Cholo role in the whatever Chicano American, but all of them played so good in other facets of the movie, like the dramatic part or the part where they were being, you know, more soft or things like that. They all were very good on the fluctuating skills of it. So I was always like, man, I wonder why they weren't now. So that I didn't know that. So that makes a lot.
Yeah. He was saying that they made them live together down in L.A., down in that area for like the first 3 months. Like they lived together, like they just hung out and lived together like brothers, you know?
Yeah.
And he says that's how they got really close. So that's why the chemistry plays out so well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he says that when they were there, there was gunshots at night and everything, and they're all freaking out. And a scene where he's in jail, he says that he filmed it inside of San Quentin.
Okay.
So they were filming as everything was happening. And he says one day when he was filming, he took a nap. He said, just take a nap right here in one of the cells. They closed the cell. And he fell asleep, and everybody forgot that he was even there.
Uh-huh.
He said he woke up, he's like, I'm in freaking prison. There's nobody around. He was all freaked out.
That was suck.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So he's like, I still got nightmares from that, bro. He's like, I was in the freaking jail cell. Everybody forgot me, man.
No more locked doors.
No more locked doors. All right, man. So anyways, we went way off topic from Maxine, but hey.
Maxine looks cool.
Maxine, she looks all right.
Yeah. All right, man. We're going to get to the bread and butter, to the beans of the thing. I don't know. What do we call it? To the main topic here, diss records, man. Yeah. The history of the diss records. So as far as hip hop has been going, the very first documented diss record on wax happens to be Roxanne's Revenge. You heard Roxanne, Roxanne. So Roxanne Shanté decided she wasn't feeling this, man.
Right.
So she just wrote a diss record towards this group.
Right.
And then she just became hugely popular. There's actually a movie
on Netflix
called Roxanne on Netflix, which is really good.
Yeah.
Okay. You should watch it. It'll give you the whole history of that.
Uh-huh.
So she wrote the first diss record, and that record just blew up. They're like, oh, snap, Roxanne's coming back at him of revenge.
Right.
So then everybody was like, ah, diss record. So that's how diss records began.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of diss records in the, you know, from there on. You know what I mean? Like right now, you know, we're dealing with this whole Kendrick, J. Cole, and Drake thing, you know?
Yeah.
And but we'll get to that soon enough. There's also been, which is funny, there's the sample that Metro Boomin used for that song with Kendrick where he says, you know, mother F the top three, it's just big me. You know, he says that. So from that sample is from Rod Neo and Joe Cooley.
Yeah.
Rod Neo is my jam. I've showed you Rod Neo and Joe Cooley. So Everlasting Bass. You can't get enough of Everlasting Bass.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's the jam. So they did a diss record back in their time called But You Don't Hear Me Though. Dun, dun, dun,
okay.
Dun, dun. So You Don't Hear Me Though, they're talking smack about MC Hammer.
Uh-huh.
Mother effing punk, something, something, dun, 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 dun. So they're just going off on him. So there's always been diss records everywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Ether is probably one of the bigger ones.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is for me, because I want to get you wild right now. But one of my favorite records right now, and I got to say, and we, Malia, me and her, we talk about this a lot of time.
Uh-huh.
My number one diss record that I said, there was no holding back.
Yep.
It was one of the worst disses that I've heard, and everybody knows is Hit 'Em Up by Tupac.
Like,
dang, he just
That's like spit in your face. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I know. It's like he was doing his wife, spitting on him, and then punched him. Not gonna punch, just slapped him. You know what I mean? That was like, I was like, God damn. Even when I first heard it the first time, I was like, whoa.
Just the first four words.
As soon as he speaks, you're just like jaw drop. They even make TikToks of like the POVs. The POVs of like the backup singers. I'm like, you know, hearing Tupac like, F this, F that. They're like, oh.
I hope y'all get sick of sales.
Imagine being in that session, the engineer just like, oh.
Seriously.
Can you guys leave my name off the record?
I don't even got to get paid.
Just going on, but it's like, oh.
Because I know I've been in sessions before when I was recording people, and just sometimes it's like, I guess in my head as a producer or being an artist as well, like I'd approach the record like this, right?
Yeah.
And then you hear people just, you know,
different way, different direction. Yeah.
Sometimes they were along the lines of what I was thinking, but I know I definitely was in a few times where, like, as soon as they started, and then just the initial when I was talking with them, their voice sounded nothing like when we were talking.
Yeah.
It just a complete different whatever. But I know I've sat there before, like,
oh, dang.
Whoa, or just content like super like real heavy stuff right away, and I'm like, whoa. So it's like I could only imagine whoever was the engineer. I always put myself in their shoes. Like, well, I wonder what the guy's sitting there like, yeah, I'm recording Tupac. Oh.
But Biggie's my dude.
Supposed to have dinner with Biggie the same night.
I know, I was supposed to have dinner with Biggie. Yeah. We're supposed to have chicken and grits.
Yeah, no, that one's definitely top tier for just disrespect.
Yeah, disrespect, right?
Like, he definitely got his bars off. He did his thing, cadence and all that. But that was for a diss record.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoy like the battle aspect world of rap as well. So. Mm-hmm. All criteria for battle rap and like, hey, I'm in your face with it, just like you would when you trash talk playing basketball or a pickup game or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. I'm disrespecting you to the point that I'm going to throw you completely off of whatever you were doing.
Yeah.
You're just going to, you know, go crazy trying to just mollywop back.
Well, he never did anything back. Biggie never said anything.
No. That's what I'm saying.
That was it. It was over.
Because that's a win, right? Like, you get to the point where, like, what else are you going to say?
Like, he was like, man, he's saying he would mess around with Faith.
Now he's going to talk to Faith Evans.
As a man and a rapper ego, I would have been like, bro, I would have commended you for at least a like smack back, bro. That's you got punked in the corner and the guy was like, like big bro you really bad, and you walked away like, okay.
He was just like, I can't get, what am I supposed to say? Hey, what am I supposed to say? Diddy's like, take that.
No Diddy.
No Diddy.
That's gonna be the new slogan all year. Something foul, no Diddy.
No Diddy.
Take that, no Diddy. Yeah.
You know, it was funny, I seen a TikTok of them doing that, and they were like, you know, that ad-lib really just didn't like pan out for him.
We were like brothers playing under the covers. Yeah. Every time I heard that from the beginning, I was like,
no, you.
My brother.
Yeah,
my brother under the gun.
I watched this one too, where they like did like a montage of like all these like sus things he's ever said.
Said it all the time.
And then it was funny because the whole
time.
Did
he do it though?
Yeah, the whole time I was like, probably by like the fourth song, I was like, I knew something was wrong with all these songs because I would be bopping, but I'd always be like in the back of my head, like, why is he like,
why did he say that?
I don't get that, or why was that necessary? But now it's like watching everything in like repetitive and like over the years. It was like, man, and nobody caught on to it. But then I've always seen a bunch of interviews where people would be like, hey, why don't you sign over there or whatever? And usually people were like, nah, or whatever. And now it's like a lot of these little like interviews make sense because I'm like, oh, y'all probably seen it too. And we're like, nah, I'm
good. Well, because everyone was getting invited to Diddy Camp and nobody wanted to go to Diddy Camp.
I'm going to have to tell you a story off the record.
Okay.
Because you're going to laugh. Because I'll tell you what, me and this person, we had a freaking, probably one of the greatest laughs I've had in a long time, like where I was having tears and my stomach was hurting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was a total misunderstanding in that form. And I'm going to tell you, I can't say it on record, man. Okay. I can't say it on record.
Okay.
But I'll say it to you guys because you guys, we all know.
Yeah.
All right. But, anyways, so that to me is the top tier of diss records.
For sure.
So you got to go from top tier diss to that to like, I don't know, freaking probably Mace's diss to Puffy. I don't know if you even tried to hear it. It was so hard to listen to. I mean,
no, I didn't check it out.
It was so bad, it was a notch below Nick Cannon's diss to Eminem.
Oh, God.
Really?
Yeah. And there's still beef until this day.
Oh my gosh, well, it was embarrassing.
Mace and Cameron went at each other like a year or two ago for a little bit, and they were actually having some decent records.
No. Like, and see, that's why I was like, oh, cool, I'm going to see what he says.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
It was just bad?
Yikes. It was terrible. And I was like, Mace, I've never seen you as an ill MC anyways.
Right.
But my boy, why'd you release that?
My boy. Oh, brother, no.
It's terrible. So I do want to get your feathers ruffled a little bit here, Skills. Right. I'm going to bring this up because every time we talk about this, you get so heated, your little fist, you know, they ball up like that, and you're just like, no. Eminem versus MGK.
His fists are balling.
Like,
yeah.
No, like the meme with the little guy with his fist. No, like,
right, I'm gonna
let you speak your piece, brother.
So
say what's on your mind.
I personally think
say what you check.
I personally think that MGK's diss record was dope. Right. Okay, I personally think it was dope. I liked it to the point that I don't really like MGK.
Right.
But I was like, I respect, man. That's a good diss record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Other than your beard's weird. You know. I thought that was kind of silly. But anything other than that, I thought it was dope.
Uh-huh.
It was up there with a Drake diss, because I like Drake when he disses people, because he's really intricate about his diss, and I like it.
Yeah.
And it's really clear, and I like it.
Yeah.
I like Eminem, but you know me, man. I'm all about the heavy lyrics and the heavy just and that's how I felt Eminem went at freaking little MGK.
Lyrical miracle.
Yeah, he did, but he tore him apart in everything he did. Even the way he delivered it, he delivered in his classic Eminem way.
Right, right.
But the punchlines were there, and the breakdown was there. He broke him in little pieces to his bones.
Mm-hmm.
Now MGK came at him pretty good.
Yeah.
But it was like little jabs compared to freaking big hooks and uppercuts.
Right.
That to me is the comparison of the two.
Well, it even had the bigger effect of it pushed MGK's career a little back, because when he transitioned to rock or his alternative rock album, it didn't do so good because of this.
Yeah, and I personally liked his alternative rock album. I honestly liked the whole thing.
Right.
Like me, when I was like, that's his pocket, to me, is what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is where the guy sounds good. He sounds good in this. Like, his style, everything just sounds good in this.
Mm-hmm.
In hip-hop, not so much. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's been some songs that I'm like, that's not a bad song.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really like G-Eazy. I think G-Eazy and him kind of have very similar, like, it's just that.
Right.
It's meant to me. But that record, I think, was the final blow to just tell him, okay, you've had your stay here. Boom. Just kick him out. And then he goes in here. But then, and this is why I'm going to retread a little bit, then I heard a few of his freestyles that he did afterwards.
Uh-huh.
And I remember,
like last year.
Yeah, last year. And I sent him to you.
His freestyles are nice.
Yeah. And so then when I was like, damn, how come he didn't come like this to a diss record with Eminem?
But how long ago was that with MGK and Eminem? Because that was what?
It was probably 2 years ago.
No, that was a couple years ago.
That was a couple years ago. You think of consideration of back then.
I almost want to say it was before COVID.
Yeah, like back then versus now. Because people can perfect their art, right? Like they can get to the level that they want to be.
Yeah.
So you got to take that into different perspectives of where he was at.
My biggest point with that, because I get you. No, it's not even angry. It's like I've always wanted to have this conversation, but it's always, to me, it's that whole older generation bumping heads with the younger generation.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I'll commend in that battle or little
interaction. So do you feel that it's more of a personal type feel than it is the diss record? Or what do you feel?
No, I don't think it was personal or anything. I think it was finally, you know how, Eminem's the GOAT. And he gets all this praise and I wouldn't battle Eminem. All these people from this older era.
Yeah.
What I think is dope, and I'll wave that flag every day. He felt skilled enough with what he had going on.
No, it's respect.
To say, hey, bro, you ain't that cool to me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's up?
Yeah.
I've been in that position plenty of times, especially growing up in the studios around yourself and like a few other people that now it's like we're the same age now. But back then I was like ready to rap. Of course, I wasn't up to par a lot of the time, but that whole ideology, the feeling of like,
I'm going to tell you right now, you were up to par with many guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
At that age.
For
like there was a lot of dudes that didn't even get close to your age at that time now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say it straight up.
Well, I appreciate it.
No, I'm saying
it,
but go ahead.
No, thank you. So it's like in that aspect, I understand. And then, like I said, for him to have initiated it, and like I said, maybe it wasn't if you want to break down, this guy said 3,000 words in a 16 bar and MGK had a few little cute punchlines, or however you want to break it down.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, bro, this guy said, I'll test your pen because I think mine's just as good as yours or better than yours. That for me, at the end of the day, it's like,
it's mostly about principle for you.
Yeah, because he was down. Yeah. Like, and then Eminem was already subbing him before. He subbed him in something when he was like, oh, yeah, because I think he kind of subbed like all the like popular white rappers at the moment. Mm-hmm. And MGK would just felt like, well, I'll step up if nobody else is. So for me, I've always thought that was dope because it was like you saw so many people in the Eminem era and nobody wanted it and nobody did nothing.
Well, through that perspective, yeah, respect. You know what I mean? Respect him for that.
So then you can get into the intricacies of like how good was it compared lyric wise and this and this and that. But what I think is still dope is that MGK took kind of like the Drake approach when he did the back to back to Meek Mill. It kind of was more of a catchy record.
Yeah.
If you kind of compared it like that a little bit, Eminem just came how he was gonna come. Mm-hmm. Rapping, I'm gonna rap your head off, I'm gonna rap your face off. I'm the god. Well, cool. I was expecting that from you.
Yeah.
But if he would have switched, because I think he did actually, and that was to me for a win for MGK or like more points for him, because he got Eminem to start rapping like the Migos. He got him to do the cadences mm-hmm. just like the current people do. For me, I'm like, bro, you know he really got under your skin because you went out of your way to be like, I could do this better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but in that sense, because... I've thought of making records like that mm-hmm. only to prove that I can do a record like that. So that to me is the way of thinking for Eminem. He's mm-hmm. like, look, man, I could tear you up in my way. Mm-hmm. I could tear you up in this way. Mm-hmm. I could tear you up in the new fashion. I could tear you however you want. But I'm gonna show you that my lyrical pen or my lyrical capabilities are like way above yours.
Right.
So to me, that's what I fully understand for a diss record. Because when it comes to a diss record, you not only do you got to break them down, mm-hmm. but you got to give them their own medicine.
Right.
You know, and all these different things. Like that's why I think like. Although some people are like, oh, Drake this, Drake that. I was like, no, but that dude is so intricate about it. Whether he's getting the ghostwriter to do it, or I don't know who he's doing. Or he's writing it, but man, he comes
he's
at it.
He's performing
him.
It.
Yeah, he's performing something, and he's giving you something and breaking them down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're trying to do, is you're trying to find all these soft spots mm-hmm. and break down these little parts, so that way by the end of it, he's just obliterated.
Yeah.
You know? And that to me is what I see that Eminem is so good at. Mm-hmm. Like, he can do so much with lyrics to break somebody down mm-hmm. from being able to rap in this cadence or rap in that cadence or this delivery or whatever. But he did it in that record. That's why to me, I think like, yeah, I give mad respect to MGK. And just like you say, like this dude stood up to him. Mm-hmm. Whether he got freaking obliterated in my eyes, mm-hmm. he still stood up to him. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of people that want to do it. Then Nick Cannon try to do something, but I'm like, bro, come on. We all know.
Okay, anytime Nick Cannon does anything, I'm like, just sit down. I don't know what you're doing.
You know why he's completely off my list? He did that. Remember, he did the song "I'm a Gigolo" with R. Kelly.
Yes,
that's a dope.
He lost his all credibility.
Credentials
yeah,
right
his
there.
Credentials are gone. And I liked Nick Cannon. I thought he was funny. Yeah. Love walling out all that, but the one, you know, when the whole R. Kelly stuff going on.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but me personally, it definitely does make me feel a little odd or peculiar when I'm just like, man, that's weird. Because to know that this person was so popular to the community or whatever, or so whatever, that I guess it's like if you put on a good enough show, people are going to like
then,
the show and not,
you
know,
well,
whatever.
Then, like, right, like, for example, like Diddy right now, with this whole Hollywood industry alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone always knows something.
Right.
So that's the way I take it, is like someone always knew something.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you heard a rumor or your friend told you this or this and that. You knew something was up, right? Mm-hmm. And so you take that song, the Gigolo song, right? You listen to the whole song. You're like, okay, you cannot tell me that you did not have any, like, assumptions
so,
about this person.
Because it was Nick Cannon. It's like, so no wonder you got so many kids and baby mamas. What are you up to
on
your spare time?
Well, here's the thing, too, is like, and I said this before, and I don't know if I said this on the podcast one time, but I'm like, the only reason the elite get in trouble
mm-hmm.
is because there's enough of the elite that they made upset.
Mm-hmm.
So... When you're rich and you got that kind of money, you're gonna get away with pretty much murder.
Oh yeah,
you will.
Facts.
But if you have enough of the elite that's still backing you up, you're gonna get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're starting to dislike you for some reason or another,
you're not in my club anymore.
Yeah, then they're like, all right, let's tear this dude apart.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And they will, or the richer person of all the rich people be like, nah, well, we're gonna pull this card. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
And that's to me is why this happens.
Yeah,
it's like Diddy made somebody mad.
You know what I mean? I feel like he owes somebody some money.
Yeah.
Or he, you know, it's just like the hustler movies or shows like that.
Yeah.
It just, when you got to come pay the piper, and he came up short that day. And they were like, you know what, bro? No, I don't care. And business is business
Domino
to the
effect.
Utmost degree.
Yeah.
So boom, you lost. That's what it is.
And we're going to take you out. And that's what happens.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens, man. And so, I do believe Did he do it? Yeah, I think he did some of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Did he do it?
I don't know. He's the diddler now.
He's the diddler. I don't know if he's done a lot of the diddling, but he diddly did.
But he's been in his rock. Yeah, he's been in his rock.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, besides Nick Cannon always try to come to someone every single time.
Terrible diss record. Yeah. Did you listen to that one?
Which one?
When he was trying to diss Eminem?
I feel, is that when he was wearing like the turban and all that?
Yeah, yes. God.
Okay, I think I did, and I it's probably halfway through was like, I can't, man.
How to take it off. But what would you say top three diss records of all time for you, if you could think of them?
For me, I'm going to put Ether up there because I was a big Nas fan during that whole Jay-Z and Nas debate. What's another good one? From recent times, definitely the Control verse when Kendrick did that and the whole Control dissed everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought that was cool because in the aspect of competition, it was cool. It was like some like Jordan going to the basketball court and doing like a other side of the court shot and then calling everybody out like you can't do that. Mm-hmm. That's how that felt. So I thought that was cool, and it was cool too for hip hop, I think, because a lot of people were rapping again all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And then another one. I want to say. It's just going to stay in that Jay-Z one because that's the one I was really locked into for my age and stuff. But Jay-Z's Super Ugly freestyle when he jabbed that Nas first.
Nice.
So for me, forgive me because I can't remember a bunch of the names right now off spot, but a lot of the records for me have always been dope. For me, that era in general was just because I was really like trying to.
That's like the 2K era. Yeah.
When I was really locked in and Jay-Z was big at that moment. And then the whole like it was really publicized.
You think Jay-Z's
too.
GOAT? Do you believe Jay-Z? No, okay.
I don't
good.
Think so.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I've heard too many things from other people or underground people or whatever that are at lower tiers because they're not praised that way. They have a way better pen.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Like, and then I was never big on the whole, Jay-Z doesn't write his lyrics. He just thinks them
down.
It's
not that cool.
I'm like, I don't care that I can tell, bro, because there's a lot of filler in there.
You know who? I remember we used to always have this argument, you and I, about Lil Wayne, and I didn't like him in the 2K era.
Yeah.
But I've started liking him. Like,
bro.
He's really nice.
Especially when he's not on autotune and he's just like rapping.
Like, just going in.
Yeah.
Just because I remember there was.
The track he did with Corday?
Yeah.
God, dude.
That's a dope one.
Are you the one with the DMX sample?
Mm-hmm.
That one that just recently?
A lot of the stuff I like from him that I think a lot of the over the head stuff that happens, because then later maybe one bar connected with later on in the verse and you're like, oh, that was a whole scheme. There was a lot of that with him. For me though, I wasn't ever super huge like Lil Wayne because of his voice and when he hit his auto-tune era.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm good, dude.
Yeah.
That's like too
remember
much
when
for
we
me.
Were supposed to open up from that dude did us dirty? Freaking punk.
Oh, yeah. And
remember?
Then he got arrested.
And then he got arrested. He's like, hey, but you guys can hang out with a man for you. I'm not trying to hang out with this fool. I was trying to open up for him.
There's a lot of weird promoters in Boise around
that
time.
Oh, gosh. Well, that one in particular, he's gone, man. I don't even know what happened to that guy. He hasn't been around.
He's goofy.
I think he only did that one, the Lil Wayne one. That was it after that.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, from now being more involved on business and stuff, it's crazy to hear a lot of these people that we did deal with at some point to know how many shady artists were out there, just scam artists pretty much.
There was a bunch of them scamming people. And
yeah.
We know a lot of them. We're not going to name names because,
right.
You know, whatever, you know, it is what it is. But there are a lot of shady ones. There's so many shady ones. And what to me, I guess what drives me crazy, and same with you, I'm sure, is that you see these people latch onto them. You're like, bro, do you not understand that this guy is like full of it?
I do. But then I also understand that desperation of like, I want to do something. Oh, this guy's let me get involved because I've been there. I get it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's like that naive like.
It's like the Maxine effect, right? That we're talking about.
The
FOMO. You're willing to do whatever, right?
Yeah, it's like FOMO because you're over there
like,
oh, man, well, you know, because then it's like if you know you got something you're wanting to go share and then you get the one person, you know, especially after trying with a bunch of people and I'm. Because I know a lot of times, I mean, not to sound like I'm super cool or nothing, but sometimes I get hit up for like, hey, can you do this? And I'm like, no. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, and it's not even trying to be like rude or anything. It's like, bro, it's like you'll figure it out. Like, trust me, I figured it out somehow. So I guess I just like have a high standard for people too.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I figured it out, trust me, bro, you'll figure something out. You know what I mean?
But
and then it's like, and then the whole, you know, just building off of handouts all the time. I don't think that goes much for or very far for people anyway. Build a firm foundation of something you're doing. The stability is a lot more, you know what I mean, better in the long run and stuff. But
But
for me, diss records, those. And then the of recent times, I liked when they finally started calling out Drake for having ghostwriters and all that.
Yeah.
That was cool because then ghostwriter or not, just like you said, Drake delivers. So yeah. As an artist, he has a good delivery. So for me, because I'm like, here's the thing too that I've noticed too, because I've been around people now that ghostwrite songs and stuff. You can write something mm-hmm. and you can deliver it, but you can give it to somebody else and their brain can do a whole nother thing with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen something go from like, oh, that was cool, and then it got delivered to whoever, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, like, because you read it and you're not reading it with the emotion.
Exactly.
Right? And somebody's giving a different emotion. Now, I'm going to give you this right here. All right, so we're talking about Diss Records. Mm-hmm. You know who's been going hard lately?
Hmm.
I mean, and I'm like, and I'm really surprised, and I wanted to send this to you. I know you're not the biggest fan, but still, AI Tupac is going hard lately.
No, I have heard some of them.
Did you hear the AI diss to Keefy D and freaking Puff Daddy that he did?
That one was wild.
Bro, it's Tupac and Nate Dogg. AI yeah. Tupac. Bro, I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, that's it was crazy. Good. And so I'm going like, see, this is what makes me think to myself, okay, AI is out there. We all know this.
Yeah. Right.
You could write anything. Anything could be written by AI. Uh-huh. Anything.
Absolutely, yeah.
So like you say, as long as you got the words and you have the emotion and you're feeling the stuff that's being said there, because you're saying, okay, AI, write this, tell them about this and this and that, now mm-hmm. put it all together for me. Mm-hmm. And then it will. It'll mm-hmm. put together something for
you. Yeah, like you could say,
it.
Write an email, make it exciting but
yeah.
enticing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then you do it and then you're like, that's good. I'm going to take this out though and I'm going to put the, you know?
Right.
And so then and then he does it. So that could be a ghostwriter from, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking to myself. Like, we just heard this record that Drake dropped, right?
Yeah.
It's towards Kendrick and Metro Boomin.
It's like 20 people in
yeah. Yeah,
it's
a lot of people.
A whole list.
And it's dope. I like it. I like it. I know there's been like, because it just dropped overnight, right?
Yeah.
It dropped overnight.
Well, supposedly it was a leak, yeah. is what they're saying.
Yeah. And that's what they say all the yeah. time. They say it's a leak. So here's the thing is what I think is that obviously it got written so quick, and to be that, you know, that witty, it's got to be written by AI. I'm just saying. Because I'm listening to AI now. And mm-hmm. I've been listening to a lot of AI stuff just because mm-hmm. I want to get the concept of what AI, how they're making it work mm-hmm. to make it sound real. And you can see it sounds witty, but it sounds like, okay, I know that.
Yeah,
you
can almost pick up that it's AI generated.
Yeah, yeah. You can.
You know what AI reminds me of? Yeah. You know those people that will read like 100 self-help books and 100 mm-hmm. study books and whatever?
And they regurgitate that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but then you'll meet the guy that lived 100 years of life.
Yeah.
To me, that's a vast difference on knowledge and something when you put it together. Because so for me, AI at some point, it's like I can't feel the soul in it,
yeah. mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. Because yeah. I've heard a few of them, and I'm like, man, this is good. But yeah. that's the whole thing. Me as a producer, I'm like, there's no like man. That. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to explain that other than that feeling you get when you really like a song or you yeah. really like somebody's vocal tone or mm-hmm. somebody hit a high note and it just did something for your body. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean by the soul. AI don't got that. I've heard yeah. plenty of stuff that made me go, ooh, that was nice, but not like, I felt that.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I'm gonna show you two songs after this
okay.
That really felt like I was like, man, I miss this dude because yeah. you know I always tell you how I grew up with Tupac
mm-hmm.
and I mean not well him personally but you know with music and you know in my era you
yeah.
know so listening to it again and listening to a brand new song from Tupac and Nate Dogg it was wild. That's
it was
beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, and you're just it's almost like maybe you're telling yourself, just believe it's real, man. Just
right.
enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Enjoy right. the ride. So it could be that, too. But when you listen to it, you're like, whoa, man. Like, it's mind blown, bro.
Right now, what you're saying, that's what trips me out about AI. But I kind of like it in a sense, too. Mm-hmm. That in the sense of, like,
you should
maybe
write this record towards AI. You should.
Yeah, no, I'll probably get whopped on. He'll probably know everything about me. I'm like,
he'll do that. He'll do the Eminem battle, remember, with freaking, what's his name, where he just said everything he thought you were going to say.
Oh,
and
yeah,
say it back
yeah.
to you. You're like, ah.
And everybody from the 2-0, I'm like, ah, man. That's all I had. Yeah. I was going to bring it back. No, but in the sense of, like, later for, like, family members and stuff, you know how we want to always, like, be able to, like, keep memories or some kind of remembrance of family
yeah.
members and things like that. I think in that aspect, it'll probably be cool for maybe that facet of life, but, like, definitely there's a lot of other things where, I mean, I want to be the guy that's so against AI, but I also see, like, the pros
and
cons
and
to it.
We've,
I mean?
We've talked about it a lot on this show.
It's just evolution in
yeah.
general.
Yeah,
we have to roll with evolution.
Yeah, we've talked about mm-hmm. it a lot of how you can use AI to your best ability versus it not being the best, right? Yeah. Like every piece of technology in different generations or whatever it is, like it is going to be implemented in your day to day, no matter how hard you try to avoid it, right? But the best thing you can do as a person is to learn with it and to understand it and to have a better concept of it, but also know how you can control it for your life, because you can't control it. Like I can't control what it does for my dad. Can't control what it does for you. I can use it to my best ability. Like if I'm stuck on something, right? Like write an email that's enticing, but within you know, 3 seconds lifespan right there, right? And then to piece it to what you have on your creative side on how that can work together. So I definitely think it has its pros. Like I'm not so against it as much as I was in the very beginning because I'm understanding it and learning how I can use it. But in the sense too, right, you have that other sense of like, well, it's taking away the creativity for people.
That's
like,
to me is what I don't like about it. That's the hard part,
because
it's just making people lazy.
Well, and then this generation, right? Like the creative space is not as fulfilling as it was generations ago, right? Like I'm thankful I lived in a generation where like creativity is a part of me, like that's the thing I'm very passionate about. But if you were to tell like a 13-year-old now, they're gonna be like, well, I'm just gonna Google it,
right?
Like,
right.
I'm gonna use ChatGPT to write this for me. And
example
it's like,
for you, example for you, and you'll probably understand this more than me, Aaliyah, but it's the same difference of like, remember back in the days when they say, read this book, and you're like, I didn't have time to read it. I'll just get the Cliff Notes.
The Spark Notes.
You know what I mean? So now you're getting the Cliff Notes. So AI is the new Cliff Notes. It's making it easier for us and facilitating our
laziness.
Well, Barnes
& Noble has Spark Notes for every single book, like Romeo and Juliet.
That's what I'm saying.
And
it's facilitating the laziness. And I that's what I don't like about it. I like certain things, certain aspects about it. And I know I got to roll with it to better understand it and better, I guess, to roll with it, you know, and the evolution of human beings, right? I gotta understand it, but like I don't like that it's doing that. You know, it's that's why I reiterate and I tell people consistently, just be creative. I don't care what you're creating, just create something. Just be creative, man, because that to you is going to be so beneficial in the future, because there's not going to be enough people like that. Creativity will be a commodity in the future.
From
a human creativity, because people are not inserting themselves anymore like they used to.
I feel like we're in a microwave era.
So you have to be creative. Eventually something like this is going to break down and it's not going to work, and then they're going to look for people like you who are creative, who are a strategist, who are, you know, people that try to figure out things on their own. So by not doing that and not training your brain to do that, you're doing yourself a disservice. So that's what I try to tell the youth. It's like, yeah, this is cool stuff and this is good to know and it's all good stuff, right? But there's also a bad side of it. Just be the person that you should be and be creative, man, and really gravitate towards that, and you being a better person within yourself on your own without the help from this or that or this or this and that, right? Because it's interesting how kids think now. You know, I talk to a lot of young people and I try to get like their, I guess, the understanding of how they see their life's perspective, right? And it is. Their life is so wrapped around social media and what it does as a platform for
There's
you
a lot
to be
of
cool.
Entitlement.
So like you're cool if you have this,
right?
You're cool if you have that. A lot of kids don't know. I mean, kids are should know by now that you can pay for likes, you can pay for that. But also when they see it, the first thing they think, look at all those likes he got. Oh, this must be cool.
Or they see verification.
Oh, this must be cool. Like, but it's like you just pay for that stuff. All that stuff you could pay for. There is organic stuff. There is a lot of organic stuff, but you could pay for stuff.
That's like with the music, because I've actually, a lot of the people I've been into is that same thing. Like, I'll see people that are willing to pay for a blue check verification on their accounts versus investing some of that money into bettering the craft or whatever they're trying to sell you.
Yeah, because all they're trying to do is get that freaking instant gratification.
Yeah,
they're not trying to put it in the work.
Exactly. That's what why I say the microwave era right now, because everything, quote unquote, get the bag. You can do that all kinds of ways now. The difference is now is the accessibility with the internet, the social media tools. Now you can, you know. So I guess in a sense, I can't be mad at like the 33 whatever big number of young kids that figured out how to do it. Maybe I could feel some type of way because I didn't figure it out or soon enough or something. But
and it's natural to think that. Be like, damn, man, they're getting all this and I put in all this work. It is understanding. But if we come at it like that, then we're never going to get anywhere. Sometimes people just get, the door opens at a certain time in life. And sometimes people get a certain opportunity earlier on than others in life. But it doesn't mean that all your work and your hard work and your perseverance and your resilience, that it doesn't mean anything. It does. It means everything. Because that person, like, I will tell you this all the time. Remember, it's like, You could build a building, right? But you have to start with the first bricks.
Mm-hmm.
But if you skip this, skip that, and then you keep building all the way to the top, that base is going to be so freaking uneven and so weak that you're going to come crashing down.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're building a solid base, it's going to be really hard to take you down.
Yep. Well,
you
that's like, that on piggybacking off that, for me, that's why, like, now when I studio or record anybody, when I like open up my books for it, people are like, oh, what do you charge for an hour? What do you charge for a project? I've got to the point where I'm like, I'm not charging for anything other than my ideas, because I've been in studio sessions where newer younger kids, that you can tell that everything's been, they got something running for them, and there's an AI something involved.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it just, the creativity thing you said, for me, I'm like, it doesn't bother me, because I feel like real creatives that make it a staple to be like, you got to come here to get like some real, like, from the roots kind of whatever. And for me, it's like, as an engineer, as a producer, it's like, you're gonna come to me, because I come from studio sessions where we had people like, oh no, hey no, you got to stop right there, and what if you do this, and you know, like that. And then comparatively to some of the sessions I've been with the newer people, they're just like, yeah, that sounds cool. That sounds cool. Yep. You know, but like, their input is like minimal. So for me, I'm always like, no, bro, I don't really want to record people or anything anymore. But when I was, or when I do, I take it that serious.
Yeah, because you're
like
a producer.
Yeah.
You're straight up being a producer. There's people that just are just in it for the money, right?
Yeah, so, and it's cool. Yeah. Like, you can go for AI and do whatever. So when people do come look for me specifically, like, no, bro, I would like for you to be involved in this. It's always like a compliment too. Because it's like, thank you for, just like you got Walmart, Burger King, all the big corporations and everything. Mm-hmm. And then you got the small moms
local,
and pops.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So it's like, thank you, because for me, it's the same thing. It's like, you know, going down to the market and getting some fruit down here or whatever, versus going to the big stores and doing it.
Yeah.
It's just like that little thing. But it's like that small community of people that still appreciate that. That I don't think that community ever leaves anywhere.
Yeah.
If anything, but, you know, it might get smaller, it might get bigger, but I feel like that's just on people and the regions and where you're at. But people supporting real creatives, I don't think that's ever going to stop, really.
Yeah.
You know, it definitely, like you said, it'll become a commodity. And be like, oh, I mean, you know, maybe those people will thrive a lot more later on, because there's so much cookie cutter stuff going on. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, until people decide they don't like cookie cutter anymore, you know.
Well, yeah, because now what's becoming is becoming a box, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's getting put in this little box, just like, you know, thinking outside the box idea or ideal or whatever.
Well, it's also having a growth mindset.
Yeah, because if you're just thinking in here consistently, you're just going around in circles.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going around in circles, but it takes somebody who's brave. It takes somebody who is willing to fail to come outside of the box and think differently and see things differently and strategize in a different way. I don't think there's enough people doing that.
Well,
it's
like the fixed mindset versus the growth mindset.
Yeah.
Fixed mindset, you're set on this, you believe in this, which is great, right? Like, there's certain things that you can truly keep your foot down on.
Mm-hmm.
But with the growth mindset, you're always growing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're never not growing.
Right.
And there's a misconception of people saying, like, well, I have a growth mindset, I've always had it. And it's like, no, you don't, because you're still growing. It's that key word of growing. And if you have to step outside the box every now and then to really get the big picture and see it from a different lens, that's a better impact than just saying this is what's going to be.
Yeah, because I've done that a lot recently, like, especially after COVID, there's a lot of things that I'm always like kind of like taking a back seat to, and I'm like, wait, you know, should I really, or, you know, and like really debate things a lot more for that reason. Because, and then, yeah, I've also been around people that they'll gloat and they'll speak all this, like, I do what, but I'm like, dude, that's not real growth, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you're still kind of just,
you're working, but you're working in the wheel, hamster wheel.
Yeah,
all you do is
and
this.
Right now, what you just said of like people doing circles in a room, I feel like they've somehow made it okay for people to think it's okay to just build a bigger line behind you, and that makes you somehow feel like you're winning or in a growth. Because like, oh, well, look at my people; it's a big circle. It's like, bro, you're in the same house though. You're in the same little confines.
Mm-hmm.
Like, jump over the fence and take your people with you. See what that does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're not. I just feel like
it's people are just too afraid to fail. I think the bottom line is there's too many people that are afraid to fail
because everything's so complacent and comfy.
Exactly.
And you know, it's cool to just be like this. Don't go out of the box, you'll burn your hand.
It shouldn't be that way.
It's like lava around you. You don't want to step on the lava.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because even like music and diss tracks and all that, like before it was like especially music, like I remember when it was such a bad thing to sound like somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then like this whole, I want to say 2010 to like maybe 18 or something, there is a whole span of everybody just trying to sound like the Migos and sound like this and sound like that, and then
or try to look like this
or
look
exactly
that, like.
And like now the 90s stuff's coming back. Like I even was buying some baggy clothes the other day. I was like, you know what, I was like, this feels good again. I was
it
like,
it feels really good.
Yeah.
I was all stuffy, man. I you know what, I tried some pants that were because it was really hard to find these kind of pants because I like the baggy ones.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to find one in the least skinniest jeans I wore.
Yeah.
And my God, were they so uncomfortable. The whole time I was just like yeah. the whole time just doing this thing. And it felt like it was hugging my freaking legs. And I was like, man, I freaking look like I'd be freaking cooking up muffins, bro. That does not look good. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I had to go, I had to resort to freaking Wranglers. And I never wore Wranglers in my life. I was like, Wranglers is the only one that was keeping it real.
Yeah.
But no, I feel you, dude. So we're talking about Diss Records, all right? The history of the Diss Records. Do you think Diss Records should still be around and should come even harder? Or what do you think, man?
I think this should be implemented more than it is.
Right? 'Cause
to me, like, I
people
always
need to be checked, right?
Yeah, that. And I always say this, if it was any other sport, everybody would be like, that's cool. Yeah. But as soon as you start talking smack rap wise, oh man, it's real beef or whatever. It's like, no, dude, it's just like Kobe and Jordan going and squaring off and talking smack the whole time, like, oh, I'm gonna hit the shot. No, you ain't nothing, or you know, whatever. It's like, it's the same thing. And for me, I think it's great because, just like I say, it's a sport. It's a competitive sport at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I'm cool with the Kumbaya and the unity and all that. That's cool. But me as a, like, a fan of the sport, it's like me being a fan of boxing. When somebody says, oh, well, I want to box you up, you just get excited.
Yeah, right. Like, let's go in the boxing ring real quick.
Yeah,
get
exactly.
Because it's like, you know, they're good in general.
Yeah.
But in the back of your head, man, like, it's like, man, because it's like the same thing with a regular us regular people that aren't doing any of that. It's like, you know, that once you get a little fuel behind you, your obstacles become nothing, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because that adrenaline or that confidence boost or that, like, just like, oh, I'm gonna get you back or whatever. I think that's great for anything you're trying to build.
It's great for hip-hop.
Yeah, because it's like, it strengthens anything. And like I said, if this guy's good and this guy's good, man, I can only imagine when
you challenge
guys are
each
mad.
Other to be better and better and better.
Yeah, so then it's like, so as an audience member, it's like, cool, let's bring on the show because this was cool already. Now you get to see a higher level performance from both of them. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah.
And well, if it happened more often, it would, you know, I don't think we would have hit this microwave era of music like we did.
Yeah.
True. So what are your thoughts of this? Because to me, for one, I heard the record and my son, He loves the Diss Records too, mm-hmm. and he was all excited about J. Cole's diss, and I was like, my boy, that's soft.
Yeah.
That's soft with a
and
capital.
I love J. Cole. I love J. Cole too,
but that's too soft.
I had an actual disagreement with a family member over that, which
over
was funny.
Over how soft it was?
Yeah, because...
Bro, that's the softest diss. That's softer than Baby Chicks.
So for me, I felt like it was one of those, like, you know, when whoever's talking smack and the random guy that tried to snuff you from the side hits you?
Yes.
And then you notice he's like, oh man, I ain't do nothing. Like, it's to me, it felt like that. Like, he it was on a public view, though, that people saw you do that, and then you yourself was like, ah, fuck, my bad.
So the perfect way,
and then he apologized.
Yeah, the perfect way I could describe that.
He apologized because that freaking disc was
yeah.
Whack.
So I have to show you, but
I love J. Cole.
You guys remember Boondocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would play on Adult Swim. Someone put together a segment on TikTok of, like, pretty much one of the characters, Riley from Boondocks, talking to J. Cole. And J. Cole's up on the stage, right? And he just finished spitting this diss track, and Riley grabs a mic and just goes off on J. Cole and stuff. And at the end, everyone's like, yeah, get off the stage, J. Cole, this and that. And he's like, I didn't do nothing. Like, get out. Like, get out of here.
Oh, this really happened on the Boondocks?
No. Like, but I was talking about, like, for one, that would have been if Boondocks still around, that would have been a perfect episode to orchestra for sure. But that the way that they created this little segment right there, I'm like, that was perfectly, like, I 100% was Riley in Boondocks, although how I felt with this diss track.
He should have just followed through, but I think that his diss was so soft that he's like, yeah, I don't really got much for this guy. And I think he just did a diss record because he felt he should do a diss record.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there was no passion behind it. There was no nothing. And he's like, I kind of like this guy. I shouldn't diss him. And that's why he goes on. Like, oh, I'm sorry. It's like stupid, dude.
Well, because he was like bigging him up in the song. So for me, I'm like, how are you giving him backhanded compliments in the song? And then, yeah, same thing. For me, my perspective, I was like, oh, he's just baiting him. So he's giving him a bait track. So I wasn't like everybody like, oh, scrutinizing it super bad because I was like, no, dude, they're in the ring officially, and he finally went like that to him.
And that's it. And I thought so too. I thought it was a jab, right? Mm-hmm. It was a jab. It wasn't much of anything, but it was still pretty a soft jab.
Yeah,
it was like a tap. It was a love tap.
Yeah,
you know, if you're gonna consider it,
there you go. Yeah. So it was like, bro, if you're gonna throw a jab.
Yeah,
but you decided to do a little, you know, a little.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, come on, you know, you were wrong for that.
I know. That's why he apologized. But I was like, bro. I
would have never apologized.
Yeah,
did Ice Cube apologize when he dropped No Vaseline?
See, that No Vaseline.
you know what I mean? Like, that's
apologized even when he made it up with everybody.
He still stood on ground when he dropped No Vaseline. Like,
yeah, because my cousin, she was like, no, you gotta understand it. I really respect the spiritual journey part of it. How it didn't sit right with his soul. And I was like, no. That has nothing to do with
that's gotta be the new generation that's saying that.
That's
because that's the same thing Kiko said outside, buddy.
Nah,
you did not. understand a diss record if you're talking like that.
I love me a good diss record. I love me a good diss record. And right now, of all these, like, some of these songs dropping, like the Drake one too, like, that's a good diss. Like, I don't know. I just think that, like, nowadays, like, a diss, like, if I said something to someone, then it's like, oh, I'm sorry that I said that. And it's like, no, like, I still truly believe in what I said.
Do you remember? Likes to speculate a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, bro, I said, I don't like you. I don't like you because you, I was like, I don't like that.
You have to be blunt sometimes. Yeah. You absolutely have to be blunt, and either they like it or they don't, and that's okay.
There's this soft era that I'm not really cool with, man. You know, our buddy Travis was talking about
soft boy era.
No, it's real.
Sprinkle, sprinkle.
Yeah, sprinkle, sprinkle. What is he saying? A drizzle, drizzle.
Yeah, drizzle, drizzle.
Hashtag drizzle, drizzle. Soft boy era. I have no respect for that. I'm sorry. Like, I get it. You want to be in touch with the feelings, and I get it. You want to be, like, understanding and passionate and whatever. I get it. Uh-huh. It's okay to do that, but it's okay to remain masculine.
Like, there's a time and place.
Yeah, there's a time and place, man. Yeah. Come on. Like,
is you as a human. Like, there is always going to be a time and place of how you use your emotions and how they go. But to me, at the end of the day, like, I will never apologize for who I am. Yeah. I'll never apologize for my emotions. I'll never apologize for the things I say. I'm such a big, like, I respect other people. Like, if I hear you talking bad about that person, I don't care if you're my husband. I don't care whoever you are. Like, I'm going to say what's on my mind.
Yeah, we fighting right here.
We fighting, right? Like, but that's me as a person. Like, I'm never going to apologize. And I think that people need to realize, like, those are the moments that it's okay to do that. Yeah. Like, it's okay to protect your peace, because what's it to them?
Like, yeah, and to me, it's like, I understood that when they did the first person shooter, when J. Cole was saying that they're the top three, you know, everybody asks about who the number one is, and there's top three.
He mentioned them
three, and I didn't think that was a diss. So whether Kendrick thought that was a diss, like, mother F the big three, he's just beat me, whatever. Like, honestly, that I think Kendrick is cool. You know, I like how he raps. But he's not top tier for me. He's really not. He's kind of boring. You know what I mean? He's kind of boring. And then it's just like, and not only that, it takes him so long to drop a record while these guys are just keep working and working. And then he thinks, I'm going to drop this record and it's going to be a critical acclaimed album. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to wait for 7 years to drop another one. Mm-hmm. It's like, bro, like, you can make some cool records, but you can't, like, expect to be the top of the cream of the crop for just making,
like,
these records.
One of those pieces where I think it's a strong point in this Drake response is where he said, you better go get witty with a verse for Maroon 5. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, something about the verse that he wrote for Taylor Swift. Drake's one of the biggest pop stars, and he's not on a pop star song collab. Mm-hmm. So, and just to add to the whole, Kendrick needs to come out on, like, whoa moments. Mm-hmm. There's some big staple whoa moments, and he's saying, like, hey, I didn't need those to have the same big effect.
Exactly.
And then, like, the part where I thought was crazy, I was like, whoa, because the part at the end where he says, I walk around with a bunch of bodyguards like Whitney. Just like you said, Drake's response is very calculated. Kendrick's wife's name is Whitney. So I'm like, but you could also reference it back to how Whitney was rolling around when she was with Bobby. And
Whitney Houston's
it's good wordplay.
Though.
It's good
wordplay, you know. But I love when you're addressing who you're speaking to.
Because
at least for me in music, there's been so much speculation and finger pointing where it's like, I want to give you your credit.
Yeah,
because it was good, but I don't know who you're shooting.
Exactly.
I don't know how to rank you.
If you're gonna say something about somebody, you just say it straight up.
And say it with your chest.
Yeah, say it with your chest.
Yeah.
I've said a lot of things about a lot of things, and I remember we had an issue, you and I, and I love you for that, right?
Yeah.
But it was like, it was just a generalized thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and you know me, like, it's like, if we wanted to say something about each other, we would say it to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And it's like, when you get caught up in the heat of the moment, and something is said, even like saying an old head, I'm like, I could be like, what did you say about me? You know what I mean?
Right.
And I could get all like, but I'm like, they ain't talking about me. You know, so I just don't care, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. It's like, I like when people say the name.
Yeah.
Like, say my name and say you don't like me, so that way I could come back at you.
Right.
And then we can make this fun.
You and
we
say, can make this fun. Say my name.
Yeah. Or I could slap you, or we could ball up and we could just let's go.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you want to say something, just say it. It's okay. I'm not going to hate you for it. I would commend you for saying it, right? Because it's like people do that a lot. They just sneak. Nah, man, just be straight up.
Well, they barely say it and then take 3 steps back.
Yeah, and that's to me why I didn't like the J. Cole thing. It's like, dude, it was soft. He should have freaking just been like, you know what? That was just the beginning, son.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want to freaking go? Let's go.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then it's freaking the start.
That would have been cool. Because even if he didn't get a response, it still would have been cool. Like, because kind of even back to the MGK Eminem thing. At least he, let's say Eminem never responded because he felt he was above it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. But at least, you know what I mean? Like I said, in the midst of so many rappers that are like, oh, I won't go against Eminem.
Yeah.
Okay, the one guy said, man, I don't think you're that dope. What's up?
Yeah.
Like, here's the ball. Checkmate.
But
what's
that's
up?
The cool thing about Eminem dissing MGK is he felt that this guy needs to be told something because he does have this kind of a star power or whatever you might call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like this guy deserves a response because if he wants to diss me, he deserves a response because I respect him that much.
See, and you know what I mean? And back to respect to him because Eminem wouldn't have responded if he didn't hear something in there that tickled him the proper way to be like, all right, I'm going to just onslaught right now.
And it's a fact. When somebody does a diss record, they respect you.
Mm-hmm.
They respect you enough to put enough time to try to deconstruct you
and prove to your face.
Yeah, and to your face to prove to you that, you know what, I'm better than you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whether they are or they aren't, they respect you enough to put that amount of energy into a diss record. So that, to me, makes a diss record undeniable, and it needs to remain intact.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it needs to be something that just keeps going, man, because that's what fuels the fire, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hip-hop right now is in a bad state.
Mm-hmm.
Hip-hop is in a bad state, and if it doesn't come back out of this, and it doesn't come out of all these BS, weird, auto-track, and I'm talking Future style.
I don't like Future.
I know there's some auto-tune that's for the rhythm, for the soul, but when you're just like...
I just don't like the content and the idea that they're pushing behind everything. Be drugged up all the time, go party, life's a party, you know.
It's about frivolous spending and frivolous thoughts, and everything is frivolous. Nothing, because they... And this is conspiracy theorists in me, right?
Yeah.
And we go like this. This is the strongest genre in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The strongest genre in the world needs to have control over people. So if they see this, you know, we're way away from the Tupac era, from the Nas era, from the era where they would tell you something and make you realize the errors of your way or give you examples of the downfalls of being the way you are. Now it's just, let's just spend. Let's just get drugged up. Let's just do this. And that's what's being fed to the majority.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's a lot of underground records that say something.
Right.
That there's some thought provoking to it. And there are some records that slip in, and we've said this is slipping because they're like, okay, let's let this guy get in. That way they feel that we're not doing this all on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But it is doing on purpose. It's like they're paying the Lottos, the Nicki Minaj's, the Cardi B's, they're paying them ultra amount of money to promote and just overly sexualize themselves and not have any respect.
Yeah, a point I want to make, though, on this, I do feel, though, that's like a lot of the younger crowd that's really infatuated by all this. Mm-hmm. But let's say us that are a couple years out of that, we're starting to pick back up on the real music. We're starting to pick back up on, like, hey, I need a song to be 4 minutes long again.
Yeah.
I'm over these, like...
The 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
It's cool, and I get the tactics, the replayability, that I gotta hear it again. I get all that. But, like, I remember the days when you just hop in the whip because the song was 5 minute long, and you know that you can make it from here to there, listen to the whole song, like stuff like that. I feel like finally now, maybe like, because the way I'm kind of gauging is like the SoundCloud era people, they kind of grew up a little bit now. So now a lot of that's not even going on. And now you're starting to see, like I said, even like diss records now, like even though they've always been an attention grabber, it's cool now to see Drake, Mr. Big Pop Star. I never do anything like this. Anybody who idolizes him in any way, now it's going to be like, oh, it's cool to battle rap. We can throw disses too. So I'm hoping that opens up a new avenue for competition in the music industry so that back to a lot of this BS, like whatever music is going to slowly start funneling out, or maybe we'll get introductions to the new generation and be like, hey, that was cool. Oh, they got lyrics over there. There's content, there's subject, there's, versus outside of this little pocket of, you know, whatever gibberish that they got pumping to us because it benefits them, and then it just perpetuates this just weird cycle of life, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like, because I was recently worked with some kids out in Boise, and they were just, like, big on the whole, like, oh, yeah, man, we're sipping this and, you know, just lean and a bunch of, like, you know, drug-related stuff. And I'm sitting there, like, they're like, what do you got? I'm like, I got tea in my cup, bro. Like, I want to live 10 more
London
years.
Yeah,
and it was weird because the one guy was like, he's like, nah, man, you never, and I was like, bro, honestly, even when I was trying to be cool, that was not my thing, bro. I was like, I like waking up in the morning and feeling okay. I like being productive. and it was funny because I feel like I might have had a little breakthrough with him, because he's like, yeah, you really be everywhere. I was like, bro, I do that because I mean, yeah, I like my little vices or whatever I got going on, but I don't let it ever hinder my productivity.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, because if you're doing more of that, then man, you should restructure and rethink everything you got going on. Because I'm like, if you guys are spending money just to look cool, but you don't got money to do business, man, sit down at the table again, bro, because that math ain't mathing.
Yeah, that fake it to make it stuff is BS, man. Mm-hmm. That's not real. That's not something that anybody should take, you know, to the chest and be like, that's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. That nobody should do that. Mm-hmm. It's the same back to the reference of the building blocks, right? If you're not laying down the proper blocks, you're going to come falling down, crashing down, man. So don't go that route, man. So all you young people that are listening and maybe trying to get something out of this, like, really don't do that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
put your work in, man.
Yeah, put the work in. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's going to take forever. But guess what? You get there at one point, and when you do, you're like, man, I'm glad I did all this.
Yeah. Well, and then have the growth mindset that you can make something better if you allow yourself to make it better.
Exactly. Right? That's the cool part about life. We're continuously evolving every day if you allow yourself to, you know? And then it's cool to grow old. It's cool to go live your life. It's cool to be healthy. It's cool to be, you know what I mean? All that stuff. Like, this whole gangster stuff, it's played out, bro. Yeah. Like, the streets and being like this and that, it's played out. Like, unless that's where you see your life heading and you don't have any bigger aspirations, and I can't tell you different, but there's a lot of life out there outside of these small boxed in mentalities that we get pumped to via music and social media and everything nowadays.
For sure, like, man. For sure.
You know what I mean? So if anybody needs to hear it, it's out there. It's just on you to go live it, go experience it. But putting yourself in a box to not ever leave, that's not doing anybody any good.
For sure, man. So we in the middle of a super duper season 7 world premiere. It's a good premiere, man. I'm liking this. I'm liking the conversations. This stuff is all, it's just dope, man. And I love to have you, Skills.
I appreciate the invitation every time.
Dude, you always have some good, insightful stuff to say, and I love the conversations that we have. But you know, we brought you here so you could rap, man. You can't just rap with us and not rap on track. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because he's back.
He's calling you out, too.
Is this a challenge?
And I'm back in So you down to do a track or what? You trying to do a freestyle or something?
Yeah, I'm down.
All right. Well, let's just drop a track for you then real quick. How about that?
All right.
Yeah. Sipping the tea with Joey Marie. Yeah. Every time I come out here, you make me want to rap, bro. I don't even rap like that. Hey, this one's for my haters and every single person that ever doubted me. Listen, every time they laughed at, well, this right here's my give back, cause you ain't got my impact. I'm cool and calm and cozy, confident because my soul's intact. 100% move out my face with that. I've been getting to the bag, you be getting in your feelings. I can feel the envy spilling, I ain't ever really tripping. I knew that was the basis, I was just playing patient for it to finally service. Now you cut off and get no access to my service. I'm blessed by many because I know I deserve it. Put in the sweat equity, baby, just know I earned it. That thing hit different. I'm trying to break this generational wealth. Mama said don't skip my greens, so I'm always rolling top shelf. Staying lifted in health, keeping my heavyweight belt. Ay, Migo making moves, this one's pa mi raza. Check it, you don't get no wins in mi casa. Que te pasa, get the chopper, get en pluma o plata. Verde tengo en pacas, sangre fría no espantan. Mi vida nunca aguantan, muérdanse la lengua, only OV, esas son las letras, I'm rolling up galletas, cumpliendo cada meta, todos los haters con la jeta chueca, cuando bajo las maletas y ustedes con cubetas, trabajando en la bodega, man, yeah.
Sheesh, is that how you gonna say it?
You want some Espanol?
Hey, some Spanish and English right there, that Skilly Waves in the building, let them know where they can get a hold of you, man, what's up?
Okay, so I'm doing something different this year. I'm not doing anything on streaming services. You can find everything on YouTube specifically. Look up Only Vibes or Skilly Waves. I'm the only artist that pops up. Add and subscribe. And that's what we're focusing on this year. Direct-to-consumer products. So I'm not trying to sell anything to you on Spotify and all that because they don't be paying me the money I want to receive back.
Yeah.
So I'm taking my hard-earned artwork and worked on, and I'm selling it directly to you guys. And if not, I'm showcasing it all year on my YouTube channel. So anything you like on there, you can purchase it directly. And then as soon as I get the website going, it's only on the website, and you gotta come to me for it.
All right.
Just old school, like popping the trunk, but now we're popping the internet. internet and you come to me.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's go. Make sure you check out Skilly Waves. Before we get to that, before we get to the end of the show, let's get Black Sausage in here real quick.
Yeah, let's get him in here, man. He's been working.
Let's go. All right, man. We got Black Sausage in the building right now. And we were talking about him because he is right now recording the vlog for Skilly Waves. But you do have a podcast yourself, right?
I do.
Yeah. Tell us the name of the podcast.
I do. He was
all excited in the back. He was like, come on, me. Come on, me.
Dude, you guys have a lot of hot topics, man.
Okay, so now that we tagged you in, just give us a little something about your show, man.
Okay, so what I'm doing with my podcast is called Cost to Be the Boss. I'm just interviewing.
Cost to Be the Boss? Do you sip on sauce?
Kind of. Well, here's the thing. It's like the sauce for me is like, what do you have to finesse me to whatever you need to get from me? Right?
Okay.
Cool. So like sauce for me is like, okay, how are you presenting yourself?
Yeah.
How are you looking? What are you bringing to the table to sell me this or sell me that, right?
Yeah. So you're just trying to help people out with whatever their message is out there. Yes. That's what this is about. Right here, kind of showcasing, spotlighting your guests.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Spotlighting them and then getting their story of where were you in the beginning, what's been your journey, and how are you getting there to your next step, getting their insight.
Where can they get all this stuff right here?
Right now I got it on YouTube and then I got it on Spotify as well.
Is it audio and visual or just both? Okay. Oh, nice.
And it's called Cost to Be the Boss.
Yeah, Cost to Be the Boss.
And it's under Black Sauce?
Yes.
Damn, he put some on ya. Yeah. All right, man. Well, thanks for hanging out with us, bro.
Yep, thank you. Thank you for having me.
For real, man. And there you have it. Black Sauce in the building right there.
Yes, sir.
And he's doing your vlog, right? You're going to be able to see this online?
Yeah, no, so it's cool. Sauce has actually always been involved behind the scenes with me throughout the years of everything I've been doing. I've always had him at shows and everything. And I've always been in his ear like, bro, you should just pick this up. And last year that I had a lot more motion, I was like, bro, if you could only have been here. I finally was like, man, I would love for you to figure this out so I can pay you as part of my team or do something. Because now it's like, I'm in a situation where we can both help each other out, so why not? And then for me, like I said, if I could work with my brothers, I'll work with my brothers all day.
Yeah.
That's what's
you know.
Like.
So he finally picked it up, and he's doing his thing, and I'm really proud to see him just like saying, you know, I'm gonna go out there and try it, because I'm big on that. If you don't try it, you'll never find out.
That's
you
what's
know?
Up, man. I mean, I've been on this dude since he was a little dude too, man. I mean, I would say he's finally all grown up, but he's still the same size. So.
Yeah, he sits down and he jumps and he's the same height. But it's all good. We still love you,
my brother. My boy can swing his feet on a dime.
Remember the almost. Shout out to Black Sauce, man.
Yeah, much love to y'all. Season 7, brand new. And we just want to thank y'all for hanging out with
us. Thank you guys.
Yeah. Thank you guys for the opportunity, the invitation. I always have a good time here kicking it with you guys.
For sure. Absolutely. Find Skilly Waves at Skilly Waves. Also, Aaliyah Marie 208, Joey Bravo 208, or
Sippin' Tea with Joey and Marie.
We out. Have a good one. Peace.